And our internet's been a little sketchy at home lately, and even Verizon. Verizon will switch over to Wi-Fi, and then it'll go back to Verizon. And I've been monitoring it more lately, and it's happening. Maybe it's because I'm monitoring it, but it's happening more often than I think it should. I just found that very interesting. So I've been thinking about, again, if the internet went down by disaster or by design. Okay, so it looks like I am connected through Ross's node. I don't know if it was my connection that did it, or the DTMF that did it, but I think we're in.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like you're in now. But like you were saying, the how reliant we are on our internet services anymore. I'm on the internet probably more than I should be. I doing the YouTube thing. I know that's kind of through the cable-ish, but still, we rely on that, and hopefully by design, or by disaster, that we don't lose it. Some people are really going to be in a world of hurt, because you're right, we do rely a lot on, even for ham radio, how much we rely on the internet for it.
In a very short term, we survive. Like I said, if you missed your favorite program, so be it. You went and did something outside, you mowed the lawn, you read a book. How long would it take before true panic sets in? Let's say the internet was scheduled to go down for 1 year. At what point would our lives, be truly altered?
That is a very philosophical question there, Travis. I wonder. I know, you got me thinking. I do some banking online, ordering online, what else? And, for a couple of days you could probably get by, and then, panic might start to set in, paying the bills. Oh my God, I got to write a check, and mail it and get it there on time. I could see that there would be some panic setting in.
I wonder, even for your banking institutions, financial institutions, do they have a fallback? You can send them a check, but, who's cashing that check? How are they verifying funds? Are they calling in using the old phone service? I can remember being a cashier years ago, and if a credit card wasn't going through, you had to, here's the number for Visa, here's the number for Discover Card. You got to call this number and verify funds so they can process that transaction. And that was probably in the early days of the electronic thing, where it actually dialed a phone number out of that little box with each transaction. Maybe we just go back to, where you got those little machines where you swipe the card and then it goes to the carbon paper, but cards aren't even set up for that anymore. You won't have access to your money. Man, I'm thinking about all the implications, and it sounds scary. How are stores going to replenish? How are they going to put in orders for your toilet paper, your peanut butter? It has the potential to bring back your mom and pop shops.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, to think about losing, our internet connections and how we do things today. It would be scary. Let's just hope that doesn't happen, Travis.
Digress a bit then. I found it a very interesting topic that I haven't been able to put down. for the past day or so. And, yeah, other than that, okay. Now that I've brought you into that mindset, how are things going with you?
No, things are good. Got some things accomplished yesterday. Took the Dodge out for a little ride and found out that sounds like the left front brake isn't quite secure. You know how you got to secure the brake pads in there? I must not have done a good enough job. I thought I did. But maybe it's just that, you know, after putting it down on the ground and taking it for a little ride, it loosened things up and just things need to be tightened a little bit. But that was good. I'm glad I got that done before the rain started. Got a few other little odds and ends cleaned up around the house.
And, you said front left and you said pads. Okay, so we're obviously talking calipers. I guess I'm not envisioning what is loose. Were the pads difficult to get in the little slides there, assuming that that's the style that it is? Those little tabs, the tongues there, were those binding?
Yes, the little tabs on the brake chute, the brake pads, at least on an older vehicle, you need to, and I'm using air quotes here, adjust them. And the way you adjust them is you tap them with a hammer and bend them a little bit so that when the shoe is, when the pad is in the caliper, that it's tight. It's usually only on the outboard one. The inboard one just usually slides right in. It's an easy fix. It's just something, just got to jack the truck up, that left front tire, pop the wheel off, and just have at it. Should only take me about an hour when I finally get to it.
I was just trying to envision that, that process. I've definitely changed brakes many a times, and I've encountered either where you've had rust build up or you've got to brush that out. Put the little retainer clip back in, and or depending on the pad manufacturer, to even lightly file or maybe even just take off some of the paint, which is unfortunate, but take a little bit of that paint off to get a nice fit in there so it doesn't bind as it's moving back and forth even ever so slightly. And then put a little bit of that, just a little bit of wheel bearing grease is what I would put on that filed spot. But, I guess I've never thought of the alternative where you would take a hammer to it to get it to sit in there tight, if you will.
Yeah, last time I did the front brakes on the Dodge, I just put new shoes in, and I had problems with the right side to the same thing. Left side was great, right side was different. Now this time it's the left side. So as I put new rotors in and new bearings and stuff in the front and new shoes, and I just didn't adjust it properly for whatever reason. I thought I did, but it wasn't until I hit the brakes the first time and things started going tick, 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 and
I, all right, here we go again. A pulse in the pedal when you were hearing that sound?
Yeah, once I applied brakes, once I applied the pedal, then I started hearing the clicking, which usually means that pad is slipping.
I wonder if there's some rust behind the rotor causing the rotor maybe to not sit flat so it would wobble, if you will. Just a thought. Obviously, you're the one in there can see, hands-on what's happening inside there, but I'm just trying to envision it how I would attack it. So I'd be curious about that. All right, I've got 6:43 already. Day's going fast.
Yeah, the days the mornings do seem to go faster than I would like. There always seems to be something going on anymore. They do go by fast.
I had a problem this morning when, I wasn't sure it was today, Tuesday or Wednesday. Between Monday and Tuesday, everything was so full, busy-wise, it was kind of a blur. Sort of like when you stay up really late and you feel like you didn't get that second day when it finally does come around, but it's just an extension of the first day. If you had a little bit of that mindset going on. All right, so I've got 6:44, so I am going to step out and get the day, next portion of the day started. And pleasure talking to you this morning, Brad. I'll pass it over to whoever else is waiting in there. This is K2PCB. I'm clear.
Always a pleasure talking to you, Travis. 73 to you. Have a great day, and we will talk to you tomorrow. This is K2GDQ, listening for any calls.
KGDQ, KGDQ.
Good morning, Ross. How are you today?
I'm doing okay, other than the weather. Cold, wet, and rainy. I'm not happy about those three, but whatever. It's what it is. Can't control that. So other than that, I'm doing okay.
Yeah, I see the temperature is a little bit cooler, and I heard that tonight it's going to get down into the mid-30s, and I'm like, you know, are we ever going to get out of this cycle of cold and wet? I mean, Monday was great, yesterday morning wasn't bad, and then the afternoon it rained, and now it rains, it looks like it rained all night, and according to my weather station that I have out in the backyard, we got, so far this week, we've had 1 1/10 of rain.
That's a lot of rain. I've got my weather station. I had to look at mine. Usually mine's probably pretty accurate to that. I don't look at that as often as I used to. I was full, for a while there, I was like full on like weather stations. I was like really into them, and then I started losing interest to them. I was like, okay, yeah, it's windy. It's kind of interesting to see that kind of stuff, but I'm losing interest in it, so I get another one, and I think it's going to be just a basic indoor-outdoor, little outdoor temperature sensor. It's about it. Don't need the wind, barometric pressure, all that stuff. I used to use that, barometric for my headaches, but my headaches over the years, too, have subsided. So. But, I'll be looking for a little less scaled-down weather station for my next purchase.
Yeah, we just got one. I got it put up about a week ago, and it's working pretty good. It's kind of lower to the ground than I'd like. I'd like to get it a little bit higher to get better wind readings. But mostly I like it for the rain amount. That way we'll know if we need to water the lawns and the gardens this summer based on rain that we've gotten for the week.
Yeah, that's the interesting part. That's the part I would like about it. But like I said, mine's don't look at it too often anymore. What model do you have? I've got the AccuRite. The color one's a nice color display on it. It's pretty nice. But like I said, I have stopped I've lost interest in looking at it.
Ours is called Ambient Weather Station, I think is what the whole name is. It's pretty cool. Tells you, wind direction, barometric pressure, rain, tells you indoor temperature, outdoor temperature. I think it's pretty cool. I've kind of been fascinated with weather ever since I was a kid. My parents used to have a weather station on their wall in the house that would tell just basically indoor temperature, but barometric pressure. And I always thought it was kind of neat. This is just the modern digital age of that.
Yeah, the one I got's okay. So it's the one I really don't like about it. It's sort of wind, it updates every, I think it's like 30 seconds. And to me, I'm like, if you have like a high wind event, you would lose that. 30 seconds is a pretty long time for a gust of wind to come and go. I had a LaCrosse Technologies one. I liked that one. It had just basic LCD, wasn't colored or anything. I did like that one. That one, it updated every, like, 2 seconds. So it would give you the actual wind speed of what was going on. So it was, I did like that one. But it has since died, and they could discontinue it. So it's another great one that's gone, lost in the books.
Yeah, I'm thinking mine updates every minute. I got to look at that because, yeah, you're right. If there's a gust of wind and it only lasts for 2 or 3 seconds, I would miss that. I got to look into that because I also I have an app on my phone that I can access it wherever, and I can see what's going on locally. So I gotta look into that. Thanks for reminding me of that, Ross.
Yeah, that was one of my when I was shopping for one. That was one of the key points I was looking for. Wind up temperature. Well, not much temperature, but the wind speed update. That definitely was one of the selling points. And none of them really anymore update that fast. I think they do that just for the battery life in the sensors. Or in the sensor array, I should say. I think that's so they can conserve battery life. Like I said, that other one, that the cross one, that thing would last years. And that, like I said, I updated every 2 seconds. And that was, like I said, that was pretty cool. I like that one. But it's surprising that had better battery life than the one that updates every 30 seconds. I usually get about a year out of for battery life out of the accurate ones I have now.
Yeah, we've got, our son bought one, I think it was for Karen for Christmas, years and years ago, where it had just an outdoor sensor, and it would tell you temperature and relative humidity. And I don't know how frequently that one that one updates. Seems to be pretty good. That one still works. We've had it for years. We used to have the sensor on the back of the house, and after we sided the house and they wrapped some of the things with aluminum, I was like, it wouldn't connect. And I'm like, what's going on? And then I realized, oh, yeah, because where the sensor was and where the display was, it wasn't going through the aluminum. And so I had to change it around, which is okay. It still works pretty good. And it's pretty close to what the one in the backyard says. So I've got two of them going. So I always know what temperature is and relative humidity.
Yeah, that would be something that I'd be interested in. Like I said, well, a scaled back one. So, yep. I did, like I said, I went through a phase and I just lost interest in them.
That's understandable. As we get older, because we never get younger, our interests change, and I can see that.
My interests must change quite a bit. At least I've lost my love for music, so that's at least one thing. I used to be big grandfather clock when I was a kid. I used to go to there's a couple of museums. They had like a bunch of clocks, and I would stand there for like 30 minutes just looking at these clocks. And then my parents were like, all right, come on, let's go. I'm like, but I didn't look at them all yet. So they did, like, I'll bring you back. So, yeah, I for a while there, too, I went through a grandfather clock phase.
I can understand that. Grandfather clocks are really, really cool. Went to visit an uncle down in South Carolina after he had retired. He and my aunt moved down there. And Karen and I went to visit him after we graduated college. And I didn't know this until I was just talking to my cousin recently, is that he had built that clock. And it was really cool. I think grandfather clocks are a very cool piece. Love the sound of the chimes. I wish I had room for one. But I have got a couple of, we have one wall clock that's a wind-up and one tabletop that's a wind up. I used to wind them all the time and they would chime, and kind of, I don't do that anymore, So maybe my interest in those wind-up clocks has changed.
Yep, and I know your chapter talk about how internet and stuff has changed things. I don't have any wind-up clocks. All of my wall clocks are battery-powered. I have one that's radio-controlled that connects to WWV in Fort Collins for the atomic clock. And that's our main one, and then I've set all of our clocks off that one, so I figure that's got to be the most accurate one. And and then I'll take a couple alarm clocks and your traditional stove clock and microwave clock.
Yeah, I pretty much set our clocks by my phone because I know that that's pretty accurate. But yeah, the stove clock, the microwave clock, and I have a couple of battery-operated clocks that are close. One that I'm looking at right now that died, the battery died, and I haven't decided whether I want to do it or not. Yeah.
Well, Brad, it's come that time again. I must leave you, so I'll talk to you on Friday. KD2GDQ, this is KC2PET. Same as three, Brad. You have a good day. I'll talk to you tomorrow, or I'll talk to you Friday.
73's Ross, that's KC2PET, this is KU2GDQ, and we are clear for today.